We'll continue with Katrina coverage on the other United Radio stations. I'm David Blake with the Big 870 WWL.
Yeah. All right. We're back with you, the United Radio Broadcasters of New Orleans.
Hey, thanks for letting us know we're back.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I'm telling you, we've got about a minute more news, huh?
Yeah, I tell you what,
sir. Spinata, he's over there running master control, and we got
Consuela.
Yes. Answering the phones for us.
Are you Consuela? Blondie.
The number is 225-408-0201. We're trying to get Joey DeFada from St. Bernard on.
Yeah, Joey, you know, he's always so accessible. And
yeah.
We understand that, you know, and first of all, we would apologize to him for being on, for calling him at this hour of the night on Saturday. But we're trying to find out something that we really should know the answer, and that's who has the final say-so when it comes to demolishing or raising a house. I think it's the government. Huh?
I believe so. It's 11 o'clock and time for CBS News on United Radio Broadcasters of New Orleans.
CBS News, I'm Bill Fitka. A race against time. Rescuers struggling to find survivors after the powerful earthquake that devastated parts of Pakistan and India. The death toll, more than 18,000 in Pakistan alone. Where that building collapsed in Islamabad, the sound you heard moments ago, a doctor says there is a victory.
There are almost 90 people rescued from here. They're all, we have sent them back to the hospital, and they're all fine now. But we are looking forward for more casualties, and a lot of people who are down there, we're looking forward for them to come up.
For many others, the end is tragic or unknown. There is rain and hail, blocked roads and down communication lines. Some areas cut off altogether. Homes demolished along with entire villages. Survivors find themselves without any place to sleep, no place to go, no food, no medicine. In Guatemala, a giant mudslide triggered by heavy rain from Hurricane Stan buried a village that may now be a grave for as many as 1,400 people. At Panabac, the mud is up to 40 feet deep. The smell of death permeates everything. Rescue workers have used herbs to plug their nostrils to block out the odor. 4,000 people used to live there. There are at least 21 known survivors. During a wedding reception in Virginia Beach, a deck collapsed, spilling about 30 people downward. Lisa Godley of CBS-TV affiliate WTKR.
The bride and groom were on the deck at the time. They were in the middle of a toast, and from what I understand from one of the guests, the groom watched as his bride tumbled backwards, and she fell on the pool, and he fell forward on top of her into the pool.
It was a third-floor deck that gave way. 28 people taken to area hospitals. None of the injuries are life-threatening. The rails are up and running again in New Orleans for the first time since Hurricane Katrina. Amtrak pulled back into the city, and with it, mass transit. Dave Cohen of CBS Radio affiliate WWL.
I am so happy that Amtrak is running, because if it wasn't for Amtrak, I wouldn't be able to be happy about my daughter getting here.
As the first trains pull in since Katrina, Dionne Robinson is overjoyed to see her 17-year-old daughter for the first time in weeks. She's in a very giving mood.
I'm going to buy her a new car.
That's how happy you are to see her.
Yes.
There have been lots of hugs, kisses, tears, and even a marriage proposal here in New Orleans Union Passenger Terminal as evacuees are reunited with loved ones for the first time since Hurricane Katrina. Dave Cohen for CBS News at the Amtrak station in New Orleans.
Not ready. The U.S. ill prepared to meet the challenge of a pandemic bird flu. Not the federal government, not police, not the military. In a worst case scenario, 2 million Americans would die. The question is whether the worst case scenario is the likely scenario. The New York Times quoting Dr. Anthony Fauci, head of director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, saying bird flu pandemic this year is not likely. This is CBS News.
This is an important message on infection for people in hurricane areas from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. People in the wake of hurricanes could get gastrointestinal infections with vomiting and diarrhea caused by germs that are common in this country. People usually recover from these by themselves, but some could need medical help. CDC Director Dr. Julie Gerberding.
Babies and young children, older people, and especially those with other medical conditions are at greater risk of complications and should get medical advice if they become ill. Fortunately, these infections can be prevented. Don't drink tap water unless local health officials say it's safe. Stay out of the floodwaters and keep your hands clean, especially before eating. If your state and local officials tell you to evacuate, please do so.
These simple steps will help you protect your health while hurricane recovery begins. This message is brought to you by the CDC and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
In the event that you had to evacuate without personal ID, such as a driver's license, the Louisiana Office of Motor Vehicles has set up expedited procedures for issuing replacement driver's licenses and ID cards. Go to the Louisiana Office of Motor Vehicles website at omvdps.state.laus. Again, that web address is omvdps.state.laus. Or go to a search engine and enter Louisiana OMV.
If you have been separated from your pet, you have some options to try to locate them. State and federal agencies, along with nonprofit organizations, are united in the effort to save pets and animals left helpless. Presently, close to 4,000 animals are being sheltered statewide, with more coming in daily. If you or someone you know are looking for a pet, go to petfinder.org or contact your local humane society. More info is also available at vetmed.lsu.edu.
If you are no longer working because of the hurricane and do not have income to live on to meet your payments, please call your bank or credit union. FDIC regulators are telling banks to be understanding during this difficult time.
Regulators are encouraging banks to allow some loan payments to be skipped
without it counting against credit histories, extending terms of loans, and asking banks to restructure loans. Before skipping payments, contact your bank.
Federal authorities suggest upon returning to your home, you limit your exposure to airborne mold and carbon monoxide poisoning by wearing gloves, masks, and other protective materials to protect yourself. To learn more, go to www.epa.gov.
We've been here since 7 o'clock and you finally pulled one out, huh?
Johnny B. Good, huh?
Johnny Good.
We're United Radio broadcasters of New Orleans, the service of WWL and Intercom Communications and Clear Channel Radio. To talk with us, you can call 225-408-0201. That's 225-408-0201. I'm Bob Frost of the Big 870 WWL, drafted by...
And I'm Vince Marino of the Big 870 WWL and Intercom Communications, and Bobby's joining me. Enjoyed it, and we'll be here, folks, for another hour. Who comes on at 12
o'clock? I think it's Pal Al.
Pal Al?
I believe so. I think Scott is checking it for us right now.
Anyway, we're going to be here with you for another hour.
Pal Al Nasser.
Yeah, we're going to go.
He's going to be by himself tonight. You probably have someone to come over here. Yeah. Pal Al Nasser will be on at midnight.
Line 4, Rodney. You're on.
Rodney.
How you doing, Rodney?
Hello?
Hey.
How you doing?
We're doing good.
Good,
how about
Rodney.
You?
How are you?
Okay, great. I'm sorry. Hey, I wanted to make a comment in reference to Mayor Nagin and Jackie Caulkin, because I'm in Algiers.
Mm-hmm.
This is in reference to HANO, housing in New Orleans. I'm not sure I'm familiar with that program. But
I am familiar with it, yes.
Okay. Did you realize that during these hurricanes that HANO stopped payments on their housing people on the month of September and October?
Stop paying the salaries?
No, with housing, the tenant pays a portion, like the rent is $500 a month. The tenant might pay $100.
Oh, you're talking about Section 8?
Section 8, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Did you realize that New Orleans stopped paying for the month of September and October for their tenants?
I didn't realize that, but I don't think New Orleans pays that. Is that the federal government?
Well, the HANO New Orleans is a separate organization.
From the federal government?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how this...
I believe the federal government is in charge of Section 8. It's not really HANO. I think you can go through HANO to get the property, but the federal government are the ones who actually pay the landlords the rent. The tenants pay, if you have a property and they're supposed to pay you $100, they give you a $100 check and you pick up the remainder from Section 8, right?
Well, that's right. But I deal with Hano in New Orleans, housing New Orleans. That organization is all
the housing authority of New Orleans, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they don't want to show. When they stop paying space people, I have one housing tenant and the others are general people. I mean, normal, not normal, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, people who pay the full rent.
Unassisted, okay. But when they stop payment on these people, for their tenant, they did not let anybody know that. They stopped payment for these people on September the 7th.
September the what?
The 2nd.
Okay.
It's 2 or 3 days after the storm, but and I happen to live in Algiers, and most of those people in Algiers did get flooded, obviously. And what happened was that these folks came back, but we wasn't paying their rent.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess they figured everybody stayed in New Orleans, or for that matter, I guess uptown people don't have the same issues. But when they stopped those payments, I guess they were trying to be slick or whatever. But they actually, to me, it's almost like psychological genocide because people like me won't deal with handling people anymore. They keep on talking about, well, you know, Nagin and Paulson and talking about, well, we're going to get these workers to Walmart and all these types of folks. But on the back end, they're not paying these guys rent. Or they didn't pay them during these 2 months.
Have you called the Housing of Urban Development, HUD?
That's the funny part. I tried to call for this lady for 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to secure the camp or whatever. Well, you know how they were going to address this. And I think when I saw on the website, I think I got a chance for last week to look on the website, and I saw a temple on how to address the situation, saying that. Now, I don't know what that legal it was, but they said because of the evacuation, they didn't have to pay the rent for these people for September and October. This is October as we speak.
Well, I think the governor put a moratorium on any evictions up through, I think, the 25th of October. But what you probably need to do, you may need to contact FEMA.
Well, not
famous.
Well, they got $2,000. They got
a check. Well, they got $2,000. First, they got $2,300.58 to pay rent for 3 months. And we had a lot of landlords who are calling in with the same problem that you're having. People are not paying their rent. And there is no justice of the peace that you can go to get these people evicted because most of the justices of the peace have closed down. Because the governor...
I'm referring to the $400 portion that they never...
I know you're talking about the Section 8 portion.
Right.
Yeah. Well, have you called Jackie Clarkson?
No, but I sure would...
Why don't you give her a call? Give her a call and explain your situation to Jackie Clarkson, who is your council person, and get her to address it. And she has been... very good with you know with all of her constituents. She has been very helpful to them. So you have to give.
My point being is that I feel like they're gonna pay the rent for October. But what's gonna happen is nobody's gonna rent with housing anymore. Where are these people gonna stay? So I know I would want another deal with housing again. I mean they were on the edge before.
Oh, you mean no one would want to deal with Section 8 anymore?
Yeah, who's gonna do that?
Well, I guess you got a point there.
And I don't have a Section 8 place. I actually have to have a nice place.
Yeah.
You know, I was just doing this, you know, because I happen to like the lady.
Yeah, well, you need to.
I guarantee you, you know, and then you know, I can imagine the parking complex with 10, 15, 15 people. And I don't know how much you know about the Algiers market, but I tell you what, you get 3 or 4 phone calls a day for these prices now.
Oh, yeah, and the rent is going up, too.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And I honor my contract just on a handshake deal just because, hey, you know, even when they want to pay the rent, I want to put that lady out. I was just going to eat the rent.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't think it was right.
Well, you have to contact Jackie Clarkson, who is your council person for Algiers, and explain your situation to her. And I'm quite sure she'll address it to the, you know, best of her ability and teach him which is money.
I think the police don't want these poor folks back in the oil again.
You don't think they want the poor folk back in?
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Well, wait, and I'm African American.
Yeah, so am I. I'm African American, and I don't think it's the case that they don't want the poor folk back in. I think it's
why I can't understand why they do that. You know, to these people like that, because nobody's going to deal with these Section 8 people anymore.
people are going to do. I mean,
some people will. I mean, you know, after all of this is over, this happens to be a major disaster, or a major hurricane that has hit the area, and a lot of people are suffering from it, and right now there are very few people who are getting help, and, you know, people like you're a landlord, and you're not getting much help, there's no one there to help you, really.
I don't need their money as much as they probably think I do.
Yeah.
You know, it's more the principle of the thing.
Well, that's what you need to do. You need to call Jackie Clarkson, and I'm quite sure she'll address the issue, and if there's any money owed to you, I'm quite sure she'll try her best to get it for you. And not only you, but any other landlord who's having this problem.
Okay, my friend.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Elanese?
Line one. Elanese, are you on? Hello? All right, folks, now's a good time to call us. The area is 225. The number's 408-0201. 225-408-0201.
You know, Vinny, we had a lot of other people that called about the same situation, landlords that were calling. I believe it was Thursday. A gentleman called in, and he had properties, and people didn't want to pay him rent. And one guy got a little belligerent with him and just told him, say, hey, you know, you can't get it, you can't make me pay it, and I'm going to stay here. I'm not going anywhere.
Well, it's a tough situation. You know, it's one thing, you can understand some people can't afford it. They've lost their jobs. They don't have the money to...
But these people have gotten the money, but the guy told him, say, yeah, I got my FEMA money, but you're not getting any of it.
Well, that's wrong.
Yeah, that is wrong.
Because you have to put yourself into the shoes of the landlord.
Have mortgages to pay.
Well, as the guy said, he told us one night, he said, my only income is that of a landlord. He said, I've got mortgages to pay, I've got insurance, I've got food, I've got kids going to school, I need money for tuition, and I need money coming into me from my tenants. So, it's tough, and then you've got some people who say, hey, you can't, because of the moratorium put on it, Blanco has issued the order that you can't evict anybody.
Can't evict anybody until after the 25th.
And some people shouldn't be evicted, and they got some. There's always going to be somebody who's looking to take advantage of the situation. Trying to get over. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's tough. It is absolutely a tough situation, not only for the tenant, but as well for the landlords, because as I said, this gentleman had only one income, and that's from being a landlord.
And that's from being a landlord, and he had his property on Section 8. Well, Section 8 is something for low-income people. I don't know if you've heard of that program.
Well, I've heard of it, but to be very candid, I don't know a whole lot about
Section 8. Yeah, what it is, they base your rent on your income.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, they really pay a minimal amount, and then
$100 a month and whatever the rest. If you're renting the place out for $500, tenant pays
$100 from the tenant, you get
$400 from the government.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's where it's going. We got callers coming in.
Yeah. Let's go to Cindy and Violet on line one. Cindy.
Hello.
How are you, Cindy?
I'm doing just fine, I guess.
You guess? Tell us.
Well, my question is this: I live in Violet, and when we went to go see our home, I have two cars, a Pathfinder, a boat, and a van that doesn't belong to me on my front lawn. Whose responsibility is it to get rid of them? And can I get squatter's rights to that boat?
No, you can't do that. Well, I would see who it's registered to. And to find that out, you probably would call the sheriff's department.
All this was on your front lawn?
Yes, it is. In fact, the boat and the car is practically through my front door.
Was this a result of the hurricane? I mean, obviously it must have. I mean, I don't think anybody
it
just
loaded
parked,
there.
Huh? They didn't just
load it there.
One of the cars is kind of like its back tires are on my fence. The van, I have a van, and I also have a Pathfinder that's balancing on my mailbox. And both the cars practically through my front door.
So you're saying that the wind blew these vehicles on your property?
I really think that they floated, and the boat got lodged like between the columns in the front of my house.
Uh-huh.
And I think they kind of just blocked everything from there, and it just kept curling up.
Yeah, is there anybody you can call? I mean, is there any parish officials that you
can
call?
That's who you need to call.
I have no earthly idea. I asked my insurance company, and they told me it was my responsibility.
Okay, what you need to do is call the parish government, call the sheriff's office, and explain the situation to them and have them to come out. And they'll do an investigation. They'll look at the boat license, and they'll trace it to the owner. And they'll contact the owner and give them a certain amount of time to come and retrieve their property. And if they don't, then what they'll do is most likely impound it and take it somewhere until the property is claimed.
My insurance company told me that if the insurance company paid them off, then they would probably just leave them there.
In other words, if the vehicles are totaled,
what happened, the insurance companies will come and pick them up and take them away for you.
Yeah, because if the insurance company pays off the homeowner, they settle with the policyholder, and that vehicle becomes the insurance company's property. So I would think it would be their responsibility to.
Now, the way you find out who the owners of these properties are is from the license plate on the vehicles. And,
correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, what's going to happen is if it's a total loss and there's a mortgage or a lien, I mean, they pay off the mortgage, they pay off the homeowner, and then they then become the owner of the vehicle, the boat, whatever. So it would seem like to me that it's up to the insurance company. Once they settle with the homeowner, the policyholder, that becomes theirs.
Owns the vehicles. The vehicles are the ones that are lost in a yard.
Yeah, but I mean, once if the insurance company has settled with the person who owns those vehicles, it becomes the insurance company's property.
That's true, and they have to remove.
So then it's got to be up to the insurance company to come move the property, because they get title when they settle with the policyholder. They take title to the vehicle or the boat or whatever.
Well, what you need to do is call. Have you called the sheriff's office?
To be honest with you, we have to take a break right now. Call the parish sheriff's office
and explain the situation to them, and they'll in turn trace the license plates and see who these vehicles are registered to, and they'll try to contact the owners of the vehicles, and if those people don't come and claim the property, then they'll probably remove it off of your property.
I mean, but I'm sure you understand there's no phone lines in Saint Bernard. So they probably wouldn't be able to even find the owners.
But you do have a cell phone.
You're in St. Bernard Parish, right?
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm going to be back here tomorrow night. I'm going to be here at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We're going to call somebody in St. Bernard Parish. I'll call somebody in St. Bernard Parish and find out exactly what your situation is, all right?
I appreciate it.
All right,
I tell you what you do.
Call me back tomorrow, somewhere around, call me about 7:30 tomorrow night.
I surely will.
All right, we'll find out.
Today.
We'll get to
Thank
the bottom
you.
Of it. Thank
all right,
you. We'll
take a break. All right, this is United Radio Broadcasters of New Orleans, a service of WWL and Intercom Communications and Clear Channel Radio. To talk, you can call us at 225-408-0201. We'll be right back.
This is an important message on infection for people in hurricane areas from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. People in the wake of hurricanes could get gastrointestinal infections with vomiting and diarrhea caused by germs that are common in this country. People usually recover from these by themselves, but some could need medical help. CDC Director Dr. Julie Gerberding.
Babies and young children, older people, and especially those with other medical conditions are at greater risk of complications and should get medical advice if they become ill. Fortunately, these infections can be prevented. Don't drink tap water unless local health officials say it's safe. Stay out of the floodwaters and keep your hands clean, especially before eating. If your state and local officials tell you to evacuate, please do so.
These simple steps will help you protect your health while hurricane recovery begins. This message is brought to you by the CDC and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
In the event that you had to evacuate without personal ID, such as a driver's license, the Louisiana Office of Motor Vehicles has set up expedited procedures for issuing replacement driver's licenses and ID cards. Go to the Louisiana Office of Motor Vehicles website at omvdps.state.laus. Again, that web address is omvdps.state.laus. Or go to a search engine and enter Louisiana OMV.
If you have been separated from your pet, you have some options to try to locate them. State and federal agencies, along with nonprofit organizations, are united in the effort to save pets and animals left helpless. Presently, close to 4,000 animals are being sheltered statewide, with more coming in daily. If you or someone you know are looking for a pet, go to petfinder.org or contact your local humane society. More info is also available at vetmed.lsu.edu.
If you are no longer working because of the hurricane and do not have income to live on to meet your payments, please call your bank or credit union. FDIC regulators are telling banks to be understanding during this difficult time. Regulators are encouraging banks to allow some loan payments to be skipped without it counting against credit histories, extending terms of loans, and asking banks to restructure loans. Before skipping payments, contact your bank.
Federal authorities suggest upon returning to your home, you limit your exposure to airborne mold and carbon monoxide poisoning by wearing gloves, masks, and other protective materials to protect yourself. To learn more, go to www.epa.gov.
Of the Big 870 WWL and United Radio Broadcasters of New Orleans, WWL News Time 1125. It's another sign of life getting back to normal. Amtrak resumed passenger rail service to the Big Easy today. The city of New Orleans left Chicago Thursday night, and the train rolled in just after 4 today with 29 passengers. Many of them were shocked to see the devastation wrought by Katrina. Officials are still hoping to set up a commuter rail service between Baton Rouge and New Orleans to try to ease some of the I-10 traffic. 200 evacuees have now moved into the FEMA trailer city in Baker, Louisiana, and hundreds more are due to check in, but FEMA is still being harshly criticized for delays. 120,000 trailer homes are reportedly still needed in the state. After a lot of hard work by numerous agencies since Katrina, 2,500 missing children have been reunited with their parents. That figure released today. A new Red Cross Financial Assistance Center in Hanville will open at 9 in the morning. Today, no one was turned away from the various locations. Tomorrow, all of them will be open, including the Slidell drive-through, Pelican Park, Kenner, and Hanville. They are no longer handing out debit cards at any of the Red Cross locations due to a dozen arrests for alleged fraud. Applicants now will be checked out in Baton Rouge, the applications, that is, before they put the checks in the mail. Government experts are rechecking all of their figures to make sure that Hurricane Katrina was actually a Category 4 when it made landfall. Some analysts now think it may have been a strong 3. And malls did a brisk business today from Slidell to Baton Rouge. There were just thousands of shoppers out. Some credit the great weather. Others say they were using FEMA and Red Cross assistance. The LSU Tigers came through with a nice win tonight, 34-6 over Vandy. That game heard live on the Big 870 WWL. Stay tuned for more updates. I'm David Blake with the Big 870 WWL.
Tears of a clown, huh? That looks like you, Scott. Stop crying over there. Okay, Vince, we're back, and this is the United Radio Broadcasters of New Orleans, a service of WWL and Intercom Communications and Clear Channel Radio. To talk with us, you can call 225-408-0201. Benny?
All right, let's go to our phone lines. They're all lighted up. Ashley on line one. Go ahead, Ashley.
Hello.
Hey, Ashley.
I was calling to get that number that y'all have. I don't know if it's a commercial or just caught the tail end of it for the insurance commission.
Okay, we got it for you right here, Bobby.
Okay, I've got it here. It's Robert Woolley, insurance commissioner, 225-342-9892.
All right, thank you. All right. But yeah, they cut my policy off a couple days after the storm for my car insurance.
Well, they have a moratorium. You can't be canceled.
No, yeah, that's what I told them. I'm
no, like, you can't be canceled. No, that's what company was that?
It's U.S. Agency.
I'm not familiar with that company, but they can't cancel you, right?
Yeah, from what I understand, I think the governor put a moratorium since August the 26th.
Yeah, this was a few days
before the storm.
Okay.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Y'all are doing a great job.
Well, thank you. We try to help you in any way we can. And again, you got that number, so good luck to you with the insurance commission.
Thank you
very much. You're quite
welcome. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
All right. Dean in LaPlace on line two. Dean, you with us?
Hello.
Hey, Dean. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing tonight?
Great. How are you? It's 11:30 Saturday night here in New Orleans. Go ahead.
Yeah, I live in St. John Parish.
All right.
I got a question, really. It's from what I'm understanding from our parish president, that he took St. John and took it away. In other words, he didn't. It's not a disaster area anymore.
That's LaPlace, right?
Yeah, LaPlace.
Okay.
I'm understanding that, like, St. James, St. Charles, which is, we're right in the middle of it.
Right.
They're still disaster areas, like food stamp assistance that they were given to all the residents in the mandatory evacuation zones and all. They get for another 90 days, whereas St. John Parish had them for 30 days, and that's it. They cut them off because he said it's not a disaster area.
Did you sustain any storm damage?
Yes.
You did?
Yes, I did.
Have you contacted?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't major, and you know, I hear these people calling about the adjusters and all, and I understand. Mm-hmm. My house isn't damaged to where I'm not in a hurry. Take care of the people that need it more first.
Right.
You know, I mean, my house is very minor damage for the most part. I wasn't one that got stamps. We don't need them. But it's the point. I have a lot of friends, and I'm actually helping out because they have more damage than me. You know, I'm able to help them more than the help that they're getting from the federal government.
So
you know, they got the $2,000, and then that was it. And one friend of mine, his house is, you know, the roof is falling in on the town.
Did he contact FEMA?
Yep. And he was behind.
What about his insurance company?
But he's still waiting on an adjuster.
He's still waiting on an adjuster.
Yep. He contacted the insurance company 3 days after the storm. They gave him a claim number, said, this is who your adjuster is, this is the phone number. Have yet to hear from him. He's tried calling him, doesn't return calls.
Well, I can tell you, though, a lot of
people... You know, what he needs to do is who sold him the policy? Go into the insurance agent.
Right.
You know, and go and see them. When I have problems with my policy, immediately after the event, I just hopped in the car and I drove right over to the agent who sold the policy. And if they're the people that are servicing the policy, you need to go and see them and see if you can get some answers.
Right.
Face-to-face is the best way.
I'm not sure if he did that or not. I mean, my job keeps me away from home a lot. So, you know, when I'm there, I try to help whoever I can help.
Right, yeah.
But, well, that's, I mean, you know, Bob just suggested, you know, the right thing. Just have him contact the agent who sold him the policy.
Right.
I don't know how much good that'll do, but because a lot of people, I know a lot of people in my area and in my neighborhood, they're still waiting to be contacted. They're still waiting for insurance adjusters. So this thing's going to take time. It's not necessarily, not everything is some sort of clandestine reason why people are not being contacted.
Yeah, this is a major disaster.
This is a major disaster. And I can tell you, people close to me and people in my neighborhood there are still waiting for their insurance company. They're still waiting to be contacted by FEMA. It's not just that, you know, I wonder why the reason, you know, it's just that it's such, the magnitude of this disaster is so great, it's just going to take time. But I would do what Bob suggested. Call the insurance agent that sold
the
policy.
Go in and visit the agent. Do it. Ben said earlier, the best way to handle this situation now is to do it face-to-face. I'd rather meet a person face-to-face than talk to them on a phone or listen to a recorder.
Yeah, I believe in face-to-face because a lot of times, and I'm not saying this across the board, but a lot of times people can blow you off a lot quicker over a telephone than you can get. get a whole lot more satisfaction by demanding or insisting that you have a face-to-face situation with them, okay? All right.
One other comment, if I got time.
Sure, go ahead.
I happened to be at Home Depot yesterday in LaPlace.
Mm-hmm.
I had something that I bought. It ended up being the wrong thing, and I returned. When there was a couple in front of me returning a generator. You know, I understand that people can't sustain the expenses of a generator in a case like this. I understand that totally. But any other place that you go to, if you return something on a receipt, they write. You know, they usually highlight and mark the date returned or whatever. This woman rings nine times a heck about, don't write nothing on my receipt because she has some other stuff on there. Now, it looks like you're trying to screw the insurance company for the cost of the generator when you're returning it. And what they did is they returned it and went and bought a bigger generator, basically. But on the receipt, they gave her her original receipt back showing she purchased that generator. So in other words, she bought that generator, returned it, got the money back, and we bought one a little more expensive. Now she's going to get the money back for that one also.
Well, it's going to catch up to her. FEMA is not just giving out money for this disaster and just leaving it. They have a lot of people that are actually being seen face-to-face by FEMA representatives to make sure that that the system is not being defrauded.
Like we always say, there's always somebody out there trying to take an edge.
Yes,
there's always somebody wanting to beat the system, okay?
All right, guys, look, I just want to tell y'all, y'all doing a great job. I've been listening to y'all since the day after the storm. Excellent. Y'all keeping information out there. That's what we need.
Well, we try to get as much out there as we can. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
We got to take a break.
We got to take a break.
Yes, it is. The United Radio broadcast is in New Orleans, a service of WWL and Intercom Communications. And Clear Channel Radio, the number is 225-408-0201. Back with more After News with David Blink.
And thanks, Frosty. Good evening. I'm David Blank for the Big 870 WWL and United Radio of New Orleans. News time now, 11:35.
That I had on my bus, he was 17 years old, and in the process of evacuation, had, you know, the boat went by and told them all they had to get to the bridges. And so he loaded up his mother and his sister in this inflatable pool and pulled them through water up to his chin for a couple of miles to get to the bridge. And the kid can't swim. Mm. And so the whole walk was just a walk of terror through the day to get to this bridge. And when they got to the bridge, the helicopters operating as quickly as they could were taking women and children first. Mm-hmm. And so he got separated from his mom and his sister.
Wow.
And he hadn't spoken to them in 4 days, 5 days. But we began with those buses. We began convoys to Houston, New Iberia, Dallas, sent one through Lake Charles.
To reunite families.
To reunite families.
Unbelievable. Now, you were saying mass along the way at some of these shelters and things. We're looking at a few pictures here. We're bringing up a picture in a minute here. Where is this? I don't know where this one is.
The picture we're going to see is in the HOMA Convention Center.
I see.
At one point in time there.
I see. And what was the reaction? What's the spirit of the people?
You know, the people were great. It was amazing. I mean, there was certainly a lot of suffering going on. But in the midst of that, there was great joy. And one of the things I to couple on with what Archbishop Hannon said, it was also an opportunity to show great mercy, great courage, the whole spirit of charity and generosity. One of Father Mark's people, he called back several of them from their hideouts where they had all run off to wait out the storm. He called them back during the storm to begin setting up this shelter. And then the donations began to pour in from all over. And it was just amazing the spirit and the liveliness that was being carried on inside the convention center. One of the people mentioning the role of the priesthood in the midst of this, one of the people who wasn't Catholic mentioned on Sunday morning when we brought in their ministers from different denominations to come in and offer services. She came up and asked us, she said, "Well, Father, it was very nice of you to bring these gentlemen in for us for our services this morning. Where were they on Wednesday and Thursday?"